Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon.
Hey! If any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there on Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome not only to the NASCAR Man Cave, but, Tony, it is the Christmas NASCAR Man Cave here in the Motor City. Christmas has exploded in the Man Cave.
I know you love that stuff, Griswold. You live for that.
Mr. Clark W. Griswold here at your service. Tony is live via location once again in Las Vegas, Nevada. Tony, what number is this? 122?
No, this is my 79th trip to Las Vegas.
I love the fact that you're keeping track of this. And once we push the stop button, the professor here might have you throw down a bet for him later on.
That's fine. That's fine. They haven't posted NASCAR bets yet.
Okay. So when are you leaving there, sir?
I am leaving here on Wednesday. So that'll be officially my last trip for the year. Little crazy time though coming out here. I went and it's weird because I've been on the road for like a month and a half. I go to rent a car, I go to leave, and they go, "Yeah, your driver's license expired a month and a half ago."
I'm like,
all right then. Apparently, I'm getting taxi cabs everywhere I go. I've been renting cars and everything else for the last month and a half. I don't know.
Is Uber out in Vegas, right, or has the cab companies put a kibosh to that?
No. Uber and Lyft are everywhere. They have specific areas now at all the hotels for ride share. So.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah. That was a right then.
Oops.
Yeah.
So, what'd you do this weekend? Anything fun before you headed out of town?
You know, I'll be honest. No, I was home for a day and a half. You know, did some laundry, watched some racing, and hit the airport on Sunday. I saw about 2/3 of the race in the airplane. You know, I saw 200 laps of nothing, and then all hell broke loose
once you landed.
According to Twitter, because as I was stuck in my rental car, in my taxi cab, because I couldn't get around. apparently all hell broke loose. So
yeah, it was crazy.
What about you?
Let's see. Friday did absolutely nothing. Like, you know, I'm not one for traveling in terms of that much from a work perspective. So I still needed to catch up from Nashville. So Friday night, we did absolutely nothing. Saturday, watched a little bit of college football and started getting the house decorated. Sunday, watched Lions actually pull one out barely against an 0-8 Cleveland Browns team. So if that tells you anything, what it's like to be a Lions fan. And finished the house and watching the race and all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Hey, nice. Tony, we got a big show lined up today talking about Phoenix, previewing the finale at Homestead, which I can't believe we're down to our last race of the season. But we got a special interview that we've got ready for everybody. Recorded it a couple days ago, and Kelly Stavis from NBC called us and talked some racing and what it's like to be on pit road. That was a lot of fun, Tony.
Yeah, she couldn't have been nicer either, and always love to get a good perspective. I mean, that's got to be such a fast moving, right? Things happen in the race. You got to be running around, and you got to be on your toes and aware of the situation and in the relationships and things like that. So tough job, but boy, she makes it look easy.
Absolutely. Well, what do you say? Should we drop that in for everybody?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
All right, joining us on the line here, Lap Traffic Nation from NASCAR and NBC, reporter Kelly Stavis. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Hey, absolutely, anytime. So, Kelly, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, you see on Pit Road all the time. You've done a lot of covered a lot of different kinds of racing, Grand Am, Wayland Modified, all kinds of stuff. How did you get to Pit Road for NBC?
Well, I grew up in Denver, Colorado, which at the time certainly did not have a NASCAR presence, even like it does today with Furniture Row Racing. So I did not grow up around racing really of any kind. But I went to school in Southern California, studied broadcast journalism, moved back to Colorado for a brief time to work as a sports anchor for an NBC affiliate there, and then really realized I wanted to get out of the studio at the time and do some sideline stuff. So I moved back to Southern California. I was freelance doing all sorts of sports, from high school football, college baseball, boxing, really anything I could get my hands on. And one day I got a phone call about covering an off-road racing series. Again, I knew nothing about it, but I liked the owner of the series and the people that I'd interviewed with, so I took the job that was airing on Speed Channel at the time. And from there, it just kind of parlayed from one form of racing and one series to the next, different networks. I was just working freelance through them all, including some motocross for NBC. And about 4 years ago, when NBC got the NASCAR contract back, I got the phone call to sign with them full time to be on Pit Road. So I did a little bit of IndyCar with NBC as well, and then packed up my bags, moved to Charlotte, so I could really get immersed in the NASCAR world. I spent 2 years in Charlotte working on NASCAR America show, going to the all the different shops, getting to know the drivers, the crew chiefs, you know, all the faces I would need to know on the road. And now just finishing up our third season of NASCAR on NBC.
So you've officially earned your stripes, I'd say.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, there's a lot of people ask me, how do you study for it? How do you study? And it's difficult. Of course, you can study to a point, but it's the best way to go about it, in my opinion, is it's that face time. You have to earn the trust and respect of the people that have the answers for you. So I'm looking for information that you can't read about. When I show up to the track, I'm trying to get answers to questions that maybe people have at home, or to get the storylines that people who don't get to go to the track and talk to the crew chiefs and drivers have. But first, they have to know who you are and trust you and decide if they want to open up to you or not. So, yeah, so the time I spent in Charlotte and the time that I spent at the track even before we started NASCAR and NBC was a huge asset.
That's awesome. Hey, Kelly, so you're our first Pit Road reporter that we've had on the show. Can you walk us through what a typical race weekend is like for you?
Oh, finally, you get a voice of reason on. Very good. Sure. You know, we cover so, you know, every time cars are on track, we've got a show happening, practice, qualifying, and, of course, both the Xfinity Series and Cup Monster Energy Cup Series races. So, you know, a typical weekend is flying. I live still on the West Coast now that I've left Charlotte. So it's, for me, it's traveling on a Thursday, getting to the track on a Friday morning. I'll look at my schedule and I'll typically have typically 2 to 3 shows a day that we rotate through. So whether it's going into the garage and covering Xfinity Series practice or Cup practice, and then Cup qualifying on a Friday night, Saturday, kind of same routine. You have 1 or 2 shows typically until we have the Xfinity Series race, and then Sunday's obviously Cup only. The other things are just spending time in between shows, kind of walking around the garage, again, just trying to make sure you have a good ear on what's happening with different teams in both series. Usually sometime Friday night or Saturday morning, we'll get our pit road split. So whether there's 3 or 4 of us on pit road, our pit producer will divide up pit road, try to make it so that we each have, you know, a lot of the big stories so that we can kind of divide and conquer. And once you know specifically who it is you'll be covering in the race, we're kind of running around making sure we check in with each one of those teams to get our notes ready. So that's for Xfinity, and same thing for the Cup Series. We usually get, you know, they pick their select their pit stalls after qualifying Friday night, usually sometime on Saturday. We find out which teams we have, and as soon as we have some downtime, and as long as the teams aren't too busy, again, we're going to go get our notes. That usually happens Sunday morning more often than not, is about the best time to get to the crew chiefs. Occasionally some drivers you'll see in the garage, they're harder to come by. And then race is on, and you better have some comfortable walking shoes on, because we're on our feet all day, and sometimes it's a hustle running back and forth to the garage if someone significant has had mechanical or wrecked down and is in the garage, or to the infield care center to get those interviews. So once the race starts, it's a lot of reacting to things. You have your notes, but you're really listening to the scanners and reacting to what's happening in the race and on pit road.
Yeah, and you know, you touched on something earlier, Kelly. I mean, you got to get that face time. You got to earn their trust, right? So that they will open up to you. 2017's been a crazy year. Stage points lots of pre and post race penalties and things like that. What are you hearing on what's the chatter on pit road?
I think that this new playoff format has really led to a lot of what we've seen in race and post race, and it's just that there's so much on the line, and you know, these guys, you know how hard it is to win a championship. They all know how hard it is to win a championship. So if they see an opportunity, if we go back to Martinsville and look at maybe first a move that Chase Elliott made on Brad Keselowski towards the end of the race. Chase is not only going for his first win, but obviously a championship as well. And then we have Denny Hamlin moving Chase out of the way. Well, if he doesn't, is he just conceding victory? You know, I'm not saying who's right or wrong. I'm just saying, When you're behind the steering wheel, have their sights set on one thing.
We're talking about?
Yes, exactly. Well, exactly.
You know, and we talked about that before on our show. It's right after that happened. You know, it's kind of a product of the environment, right? You've got to do it. So, you know, what do you do?
Well, and NASCAR's shown, right, that they're not going to penalize for that. So, you know, again, if you know, there's nothing has happened to Denny. Now, ultimately, it kind of maybe hurt his own finish. But, if NASCAR is not going to penalize for those types of moves, then why would anybody stop from making one and going for the win? And it builds drama. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, we love it on the TV side. Are you kidding me? It was like letting a kid into a candy store when those events at Martinsville unfolded. So, so I love it, you know. I know it's just good. Just builds storylines, builds drama. So I've had a blast, especially with this playoff season.
Kelly, walk us through, maybe you mentioned it, having to know and earn respect and trust to the drivers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if a driver's in victory lane, they're going to be happy to talk. How do you approach with different drivers? All have, you know, different personalities. What's the challenge in maybe getting that wreck interview, you know, five laps in or mm-hmm. 10 laps to go? How do you handle and approach that type of a situation?
Well, just as you said, everyone is different, right? And you can see that even just watching how these guys react to things. Each one has a different temperament. My personal approach is, you know, unless someone has really done something blatantly wrong, or I kind of like to soften the blow sometimes. Like, I like to point out what was going well until that point, or you know, there was a period of time that Kevin Harvick hated finishing second. And so you'd think you're talking to a happy driver who was runner-up, but he was so sick of finishing runner-up, but you had to find a new way to spin the runner-up finish to remind him of how impressive it is. So it'd be like, Kevin, I'm sure you're sick of finishing second, but my gosh, you're another impressive runner-up. You know, you have to kind of find a way with some of these guys to get them, get their minds right in a way. Sometimes if you have a moment before you go on air, I'll just have a quick chat with the guys so I can get a feel for them and where their heads are.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's, and then, again, it's, or, you know, you have to ask the tough questions when they're there, but I don't, we're not, this is, we're not covering the White House, you know, I mean, we're also not trying to embarrass anyone, or we're not uncovering anything earth-shattering that's going to change the world.
Right.
So,
right.
I try to keep things in perspective as well. So,
that's one of the things we've talked about on our show. Where what's kind of great about NASCAR, you know, sometimes you get, you know, there are drivers, then they're clearly upset, and they might say something that they regret, or, you know, maybe whatever. But, you know, it's also the great raw purity of it too. It's like better than having something, you know, that they went back to their PR person and they polished something, and, you know, and then handed it to you. So it's kind of like the raw emotion. It's kind of cool about NASCAR.
I agree with you 100%, and I never take anything personally. If driver's upset and he gives me a short answer and walks off, I know he's not mad at me.
Sure.
He's mad at the situation. He's mad at himself. He's mad at another driver. He's mad at whatever the circumstances are. And that's the other thing. I'm like, I don't take it personally. I love it. Hey, Kyle Busch, you're teed off? Great. I want to see it. I want to hear it. And you can storm off. I know you're not, like, I'm just the one standing here at the microphone.
Are you saying that Kyle Busch gets angry and storms off?
No, was just a random
this
name.
This is breaking news.
It just, like, for someone that popped into my head.
Kelly, so we got the finale at Homestead coming up on NBC on Sunday, November 19th. How exciting is it for you guys as NBC to have that championship race, and what are you guys looking forward to with Homestead weekend?
Well, I think what's been so awesome is it really has been a winner-take-all, right, that we've seen the past few years. So that has been phenomenal. I thought last year's race was just incredibly exciting. We had Jimmy Johnson starting from the rear, and it looked like he had no hope at a seventh championship. It looked like Carl Edwards was going to finally get his championship until he wrecked late with Joey Logano. With everything that we already talked about, the pressure of the playoffs up until this point, I mean, when it really comes down to one race, it's like, all right, the 78 team has been pretty dominant, the 18 right behind, but it's, forget all that. It's how do they perform at one track on one certain day? Who's going to be on their A game? Who's going to bring it the best? So that's what I love about it. Now, I know a lot of racing purists maybe don't love that format, but I do, because it's everybody's in the same boat. Everybody's in the same situation. So it'll be really interesting to see who steps it up when everything is on the line.
Yeah, it's winner take all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so speaking of winner take all, so Martin Truex Jr. has been unstoppable at the mile and a half tracks. Homestead, mile and a half track. Kevin Harvick did the unthinkable at Texas and rose to the occasion there.
Right.
What has to happen for Martin Truex Jr. not to win the championship? Because it's his to lose. So what's got to unfold for him not to win?
You know, the advantage that Truex, and I would say Kyle Busch, winning the first race of the last round as well, what's really helped them is the extra time to specifically work on their Homestead cars. And I talked to Kyle Busch's crew chief, Adam Stevens, about this at Texas. And, you know, at the track, were they doing anything that different, much different? No, but they, back at the shop, have kind of been splitting their time between their Texas car and their Phoenix car and working on their Homestead car. So they've had a couple extra weeks to really get things right. The interesting thing about the 78 is talking to that team just a few weeks ago, as strong as they've been on the mile and a half, they felt less confident about Miami. They said that was It's its own animal, right? Miami is a unique mile-and-a-half track, and they didn't feel as confident about it. Now, they did get to go and do a test there that apparently went really well. They've got some new ideas that they put to use in that test. So, but again, it's just, you know, one bad pit stop, one loose wheel.
Well, we saw that with Joey Logano a couple years ago with the Jack.
Exactly.
Track,
yeah.
Right, in the first year of this format, exactly. And so it's just, it's like what I said before, it really comes down to all aspects. You have to be perfect in strategy, on pit road, behind the wheel. You have to be lucky to an extent, because we've seen plenty of people get messed up in someone else's accident. And it all started on Friday with qualifying. So there is so much that goes into winning a race. That, you know, as strong as the 78 team has been, you can't just hand it to them.
Sure. So speaking of the 78, you said you're from Denver. What's everybody say? So they're kind of out there on their own island doing their own thing. What's the word in Charlotte? What are they saying about that? Because we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I'm like, I'd be buying the building right next door to them. Like, there's something in the water. There's something, you know, what are they doing?
Well, that's the thing, right? So Furniture Row Racing shares all their information with Joe Gibbs Racing. You know, it goes back and forth. But there's clearly something that Cole Pern and his engineers and his mechanics have hit on that is just working. And I think a lot of people want to know, and I joke with them every time I walk into the team hall. I'm like, today's the day you tell me all your secrets. Not that I would understand anything that they could possibly tell me about aero or otherwise on the car. But yeah, they've just hit on something, and you're right. I mean, it's probably kind of nice that they're 1,500 miles away or whatever it is from the rest of NASCAR world. But I'll tell you something else. My whole family lives in Denver, and it's a huge sports town, and it's been really cool to see how that city has grabbed a hold of Furniture Row Racing, and it's, you know, now another major sports
that's awesome.
Team
that's so cool.
There in that city. Yeah, that's awesome. Been really cool.
All right, Kelly, well, we appreciate the time. Do you want to tell our listeners how they can follow you and keep up with you?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram, both just Kelly Stavast, KELISTAVAST. But make sure you tune in on NBC for Miami Homestead Race, the championship, 3 Eastern. I can hardly wait to get there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Kelly, big thanks for coming on the show. NASCAR and NBC reporter Kelly Stavast, thanks for joining us here on Lap Traffic.
Thank you, guys.
Right. Thanks so much, Kelly.
Well, how awesome was that interview there? I mean, what a perspective. Apologize for the audio there a little bit. If it sounded a little echoey there, that was a last-minute scramble when NBC called. We had some tech issues, and that was a scramble to get that taken care of, so we didn't have to miss out on that interview opportunity there. But I think the quality from Kelly's side came through, and that's all that really matters. So.
Yeah, technology was not our friend.
No. And the crack up was, it was a simple click is all that we were having.
Super simple. Yep. As it always is.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, Tony, great interview from Kelly there to lead us into the finale of all 3 series before heading into Homestead here. The truck race, man. Christopher Bell dominating the first half of that race. Which was followed up with a Johnny Sauter back-to-back victory. What do you think about that, man?
He's peaking at the right time, you know. He's got the experience. He's done this before. I know Christopher Bell's got the speed, but I don't know, man. This is going to be something to watch.
It's definitely going to be interesting. Hey, Tony, fun fact. I wasn't sure if you were aware of this or not, but you can't go 4 wide at Phoenix. Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently, a few of those guys didn't get that memo.
Found that out the hard way. It gets real narrow down there.
You know what happened? They forgot to put the cover sheet on the TPS report to remind everybody about that.
See there? Yep. Oh, heard you've been having problems with those.
But in all seriousness, no, Tony, man, those guys were getting. They thought it was Michigan going into the turn there. I mean, they were.
Yeah, they did. They did. You know, man. Well, you know, the thing is, you get going. You get a run on somebody, and you hate to give it up. You know, so you want to keep that momentum up, and then you get in there too deep, but too late.
Yeah,
know? No. And these guys are still, some of these guys, to be fair, I mean, they're just lacking some experience, you know? Sure.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. Plus, you know, I wonder if the reconfiguration played a role in that at all. But, you know, they had practice time, so I'm not sure. But once the flag was dropped and it was game on, you know, those guys racing to make a name for themselves.
Get a little rambunctious. A
little bit. Speaking of wrecks and getting rambunctious, Tony, one of the more interesting wrecks involved Mr. Ben Rhodes and Austin Cindric there, which ended up collecting our boy Matt Crafton. You know, on that restart there, Cindric tried to take it three wide. Rhodes tries to throw the block. He wasn't clear completely and ends up causing a little bit of damage there. What do you think? Was anybody in the right or wrong in that in terms of...
I don't know that anybody's right or wrong. Cindric got a better restart. That's what it comes down to. He got a better restart, and he didn't... And he, you know, when you're gaining that fast on someone, you don't want to hit the gas. You don't want to hit the brakes because you're going to get rear-ended. You know, that's where the experience comes in. Truthfully, he should have kept his bumper squared up with Ben, you know, gave him a shot in the bumper and moved them both forward a little bit, maybe. He stuck his nose down in there. There was no possible way he could have ever made that move, you know, and you know, bad things happen when you do that. Like I said, it's just experience.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, Tony, the lineup is set for the trucks. Johnny Sauter, Chris Bell, Matt Crafton, even though he was involved in that wreck, and Austin Cindric are safe as far as moving on to Homestead. Tony, big question, I think, and I'm going to ask you this during all three of our segments about the race, and I think it's going to be obvious for the one, but this one might be the question. Tony, will the winner of the truck championship have to win at Homestead?
Probably. I think so, because, you know, those guys have been up front. Those guys have been running up front. You know, the Sauter's been winning. Christopher Bell's been knocking out stages. Yeah, I'm going to say you got to take the whole thing.
All right. Tony, I got a feeling that's probably then going to be your response going forward. For me, I think it's possible that a non-playoff driver could potentially win at Homestead for the truck race, and that they may not have to. I will say that I think it's only possible in the trucks that might happen, unless in Xfinity we've got some of the Cup guys that run it, and then I think it's a greater possibility.
Yeah, I think that'd be the one that's what I would think as well. You know, I'll tell you what. Things almost changed around a little bit in there because John Hunter Nemechek only had to pass one more truck.
I'm telling you, Tony, that was quite a last few restarts there for John Hunter because, you know, he was not having the best day, and he was taking advantage of those restarts and just slowly starting to creep up. You know, I think with one restart, he was like 12th, something like that. Next restart, he's up to seventh, and lo and behold, final restart, he's on the front row there. And you know, kudos to him in terms of knowing that he didn't maybe have the speed to keep up with Sauter there. You know, he didn't do anything dumb in terms of wrecking Sauter, which in all honesty, it really wouldn't have mattered there from that regard because Sauter would have been going on anyways. But still, you don't want to wreck anyone intentionally there. But that was definitely – he made it interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, he sure did. He wasn't giving up at all.
No. Nope.
Yeah, he took a 12th place truck and put it in second place, I think, on Will.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. All right, Tony, does Johnny Sauter win three in a row, or who do you got going for the big one here?
I'm saying Christopher Bell's got the speed, but Johnny Sauter's peaking right now, and he's got the experience. Johnny Sauter wins his third in a row.
Johnny Sauter, three in a row.
What do you think?
You know, it's hard to argue that one there. You know, I'd like to see Crafton get it just because I've really grown attached to him this season. Not ever thinking I would, just with the fun we've had with him and talking about him all leading back to Eldora. I'm sure our listeners are sick of hearing about it, to be honest with you. But from that regard, I'd like to see Crafton do it. But I'm with you there. Sauter's on a roll and very well might get that thing done.
I agree.
All right.
We'll find out.
We will find out Sunday, or no, Friday night. Friday night.
Yeah.
For the trucks. All right, Tony, over to the Xfinity Series, race three of round number two. Ryan Blaney dominated stages one and two with the rookie, William Byron, getting it done in victory lane. I like that. I love that an Xfinity regular and a rookie wins the race against some guys like Ryan Blaney and Eric Jones out there who finished second and third.
Yeah, that's the guy's incredible. You got to give credit where credit's due, man. He is really doing a great job. I saw the interesting fact. I saw this on Twitter today. I retweeted it out. 3 years ago, William Byron started his first professional late model race in a car owned by Daniel Hemric.
Wow, that's crazy.
Three years ago. And now he's in the Cup Series, next spring, for the Hendrick team. That's a crazy 3 years.
That is a very big crazy 3 years. Tony, Ryan Blaney, Eric Jones, second and third. Chris Bell brings it home fourth. Daniel Hemric wraps out the top five there. Cole Custer, man, he made a strong bid there these last few races. Finished seventh, but just didn't have it to get it done. Tony, he only missed it by 4 points, and Matt Tifton, sixth, only missed it by eight points. So it's a very close finish there. To set the lineup for Homestead for the Xfinity guys.
I want to say with like two or three laps to go, Cole Custer was in.
I believe you are correct there, yes.
You know, I mean, it was like that close.
Yeah.
You know, Hemric ran him down on two tires. Custer had four tires. I thought that would have been the better way to go, but apparently there was no difference. There's nothing to be gained there. And Cole Custer, he wrung all the speed out of that car that he could find, but there just wasn't enough. But remember now, Stuart Haas, this is our first year with an Xfinity car, right?
Absolutely. So to finish sixth in the standings for them.
It's a brand new venture for them. So they're, I think they can hold their heads high, both of the, Cole Custer's, 19th?
Something,
I think the entire team can hold their head pretty high.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I look for those guys to hit victory lane quite a few times next year. All right, Tony. Well, like I said, we got William Byron, Justin Allgaier, Elliott Sadler, and Daniel Hemric running for the Xfinity Championship. Give me your final pick.
Man, that's a tough one. It's hard to bet against. It's hard to bet against William Byron, right?
Yes.
I'm going with Allgaier.
All right, and I'll take Byron. I'll take Byron.
All right.
I just don't think Sadler. Again, points racing. He finished 18th in the race, so he just hasn't been doing it, He hasn't given me that shock and awe moment or anything like that this season.
Right, and you get to win this and to be in front of those guys, you better be shocking and awe.
Yes, yeah. So, all right, well, the Xfinity Series concludes this weekend at Homestead. Everybody, tune in Saturday, NBC. Check it out. Tony, I'm going to hit some social media. How's that sound, sir?
Yeah, let's hit it.
All right, everyone. Make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and give us a follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Podbean or wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure you subscribe, set it on auto download, leave us some comments. We've got some new ones out there on iTunes, so thank you to everyone that's been doing that. We still got our giveaway contest going on. Make sure you follow us. Tell your friends to follow us on Twitter so that we can give this signed shirt by the Eldora Truck Field away as soon as possible because we want to get another one going. Tony, ready for some new follower shout-outs?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Over on Facebook, Andrew Morgan. Tony, from New South Wales. We're all over the place,
wow.
Man. Yeah, I know. Andrew's a big open wheel fan based on his profile there. So welcome to Lap Traffic Nation all the way in Wales.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Over on Twitter, Ron @TonBosch25 loves F1 NASCAR and IndyCar racing. Kevin Kolkowski from Shelby Township, Michigan. I know exactly where that is. I used to cause a ruckus over there in Shelby Township back in my younger days. Lugnut48 @Lugnut48, obviously a Jimmy Johnson fan. Welcome to the show. Regina at Gina24, diehard Jeff Gordon fan, welcome. Kathy Justice at Kathy Justice 10 from North Little Rock, Arkansas, big Junior fan and an Army vet. So thank you for your service in light of Veterans Day this past weekend.
I like that. I like North Little Rock area. That's a cool area.
Nice. Never been.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's nice.
New followers, make sure you tell your friends. Check us out. And don't forget to check out our website with our store. Get yourself a Lap Traffic t-shirt for the holidays if you want. Tony, big shout out to our boy Sterling at CLT2 Crew for drinking with us at Phoenix. He tweeted out a picture of the Lap Traffic koozie at Phoenix Raceway, which is very cool.
You know what? I absolutely love that. If we had one, I hope one of our listeners is going to Homestead.
Oh,
that
yes.
would be cool to be there at the final race, man. But that, I don't know. We get a charge out of that. So thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
We love it.
So if you want a Lap Traffic koozie or some stickers or both, hit us up on our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Fill out the contact page with your name and address. We'll get one out to you. If you want to send us something, which you guys do every once in a while, which is awesome. Love adding stuff to the NASCAR Man Cave and getting some fan mail. You can send that to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Post Office Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072. Tony, fantasy is almost over.
And yeah, that's not been that friendly.
No. Well, and so before we get into our fantasy league, our buddy who you've heard us talk about, Steve Merrick, runs a fantasy league, which is a I don't know. How would you describe that? I don't even know what word to describe it. But what it is you've got to pick a driver, and they have to finish in the top 10. If they finish in the top 10, you move on. If they win, you get a bye the following week. And you only get two strikes not to finish in the top 10, or you're out of that pool. And they do about eight or so per year. And the last 2 years, I have been sucking ass in that league, something fierce, sometimes not even making it past race two or three. Well, I was on one hell of a heater, and I picked, like, I don't know, I don't even remember how far back this week. I think we're going back probably to July that this one pool has been going on, and I was just on fire. No strikes. Well, of course, Tony, leading in to Homestead, I got the two strikes at Phoenix in Texas with Jimmy Johnson and Brad Keselowski.
Really?
Yes. So I don't get
I'm still alive in the last one.
Nice.
I'm still alive in his last pool.
Excellent.
I like the survivor pool.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know why I was drawing such a blank on that. But yeah, so I made, oh God. And everyone had a strike and I was sitting pretty. I'm like, well, worst case, I'm splitting a pot with somebody. But nope. Can't do it. All right, over to our Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Tony, no one picked Matt Kenseth. Not surprised on that one. We had a lot of people strike out with the 11 and the 48. Let's see here. Mick is in first place by himself, and I know Mick is very happy right now, sitting there pretty with 250 points. We got a three-way tie for second with 240 between Cody, Chris Lowther, and Aaron. We got a Wes Knight is by himself in third with 235. Chad is sitting by himself in fourth with 225. Chris Coble is in fifth with 220. Tony, you're hanging in sixth with 210. And I moved up a few spots to 10th with 180. Tony, I'm creeping up on you.
Yeah, man,
creeping
you
up
are.
On you.
Well, I've heard you referred to as a creeper before.
Oh, wow.
It's getting crazy at the top there. I mean, I got to say what Mick's at least going to be in the points, right? He's got a 10-point lead going into last race.
Yeah, so, Tony,
so he's sitting pretty good.
He is. Tony, it's going to come down to final four picks and the preseason championship pick. These scores don't reflect the final four picks, but I went through and looked. Tony, nobody in the league picked the final four correctly.
I noticed that you and I both had three of the four.
Yes. A lot of people had two. Go ahead.
But you know what I noticed? Like you and I had three of the four.
Yes.
We both had a Gibbs driver. I had Hamlin. You had Kenseth. And it's Kyle Busch. We were close. We just missed the wrong. We called the wrong.
Yes.
Joe Gibbs car.
Yes. And Tony, speaking of that. And we'll get to this a little later, but no Chevys racing for the championship.
Yeah, that's got to hurt a little bit in GM.
Oh, they're stinging, that's for sure. No doubt about that. Everyone, make sure you get your picks in this week for Homestead. Last one, and then I'll stop bugging you until we get it ready for next year. Tony, our awards ballot is off the charts, man. I can't believe this. Are you ready for this? We've gotten over 380 responses on our ballot on our website. I'm flabbergasted by that. That's fantastic. Everyone, if you haven't voted yet for our end of the year award show that we're going to do, make sure you get to our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Click on the little trophy and it'll take you right to our little ballot that you can cast. It's remarkable. I can't wait to go and check out the responses for this thing.
Yeah, it's awesome. This is so fun. This is just absolutely a riot, guys.
Yes, yes. All right, Tony, let's talk the big dogs here. Phoenix, race three, round three. What a race, man, I'm telling you. Well, like you said, the first 200 laps there was perhaps a little bit of a snooze fest there, but Kyle Larson.
I'm telling you, yeah, the only thing that happened in the first 200 laps is that Jimmy Johnson got a flat tire with one lap to go in the stage two. That's it.
Yes.
That's all that happened.
That was about it.
But it was because I was watching, apparently, because as soon as they stepped off the airplane, it said, "Oh hell, I'm getting my bag," and I'm like, the safer barrier's on fire? What the hell?
You called me, and oh my God, that was so funny. That was like happening live while we were on the phone. Oh, that was funny.
What is this? I've been off the plane for 7 minutes, man. It's crazy.
Kyle Larson, stage one. Tony, Kyle Larson had a rough 4-week stretch here, man. Four straight DNFs.
Well, you're not lying. I think he's ready to manage. I think if this was a fish, he'd throw it back. he is over this.
He is ready for speed weeks already. I will bet that. Denny Hamlin, stage two. What a race with Hamlin there, man. And then Matt Kenseth brings home the checkered flag. Tony, Matt Kenseth goes out with a bang at Joe Gibbs Racing by playing spoiler to Chase Elliott and getting the win. What are your thoughts on that one?
Man, that's awesome. And, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, a classier guy, when he's got to go out. And I guess he goes out with a bang. And that's cool. I think of the world of the guy, and I'm still just in awe that no one's picked him up, but I'm not balancing the budgets at these tracks either for these teams, what I did, I thought it was funny. He's got a super dry sense of humor, right?
Yeah.
And he sprays.
It must be a Matt thing, because Matt Crafton's got a super dry sense of humor too.
Yeah, exactly. But, he says, someone asked him about spraying, he sprayed Joe Gibbs with champagne in victory lane. He goes, what's he going to do, fire me?
Burn. You know, Tony, the only, outside of one of the playoff guys winning, there's only two guys that I would have thought it would have been cool to see win, and that was, Matt Kenseth or Dale Jr. And the only person in the playoffs that I probably would have hated it for was Chase Elliott. So it's probably bittersweet for a lot of people. It's awesome, like you said, to see Matt Kenseth go out with a win here. But it really sucked for Chase Elliott. And Chase Elliott, who's probably going to be the new next popular driver for many, many years to come. So
I got to believe he's going to. He's just going to – that's the way it's going to work out. But, man, he's got – I think he's going to get over this. I keep saying it, though. Like Kyle Larson was doing the same kind of thing, and he got over that, over the crest of the hill, if you will, and then he started rolling off on some wins. And I got to believe that Chase is going to do something like that. But, man, you got to start wondering, when is that going to be?
Yeah, no, you're right.
He starts off at bad the beginning of 2018. Not good.
No. Well, yeah, I remember we talked about it earlier when we first started this season, Kyle Larson being the bridesmaid. Well, Chase is definitely the new bridesmaid in town. The last 10 races, he's got 4 second-place finishes. So.
Yeah, right.
Let's see here. Tony, is it the money with Matt Kenseth, do you think? I mean, you mentioned it a little bit ago.
We talked about this a week or two ago. That's the only thing I can think it is. It sure as heck isn't talent.
No.
He just is commanding, more money than what teams can afford. I don't understand. You know, one of the things, and maybe I missed something. Let me ask you this. So Barney Visser announced that the 77 charter was sold.
Yes.
Who bought it?
Well, welcome off-season, silly season.
Where did that go?
Right? I don't know. I don't recall seeing any announcement on who got that charter yet.
I haven't seen anything. So maybe I missed something. You guys send me a note and catch me up if I'm behind on this. But I just, the whole thing is so bizarre to me. I just can't get my head around it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% on that. Tony, all right, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott. So Chase bumped the bumper of Denny a few times there towards the end of the race. Chase was obviously faster at that time. Ended up getting side by side, little side bump, caused Denny to kiss the wall a little bit. Was that retaliation? Was it racing? Was it right? Was it wrong? Neither ended up making it. What are your thoughts on that?
I didn't see anything as being like blatantly bad. I would put it more on the racing side. Now maybe Chase went in there, you know, 10 or 15%, maybe harder than he normally would with it being Denny. But he also remember now when those tires touch like that, you know, it's very easy. You cut down Denny Hamlin's tire. Very easy to cut down your own tire as well.
Sure. Oh, you took a level of risk there for sure.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So yep. I think he maybe pushed him a little harder because it is, you know, it was Denny. Let's face facts. But
yep.
I thought it was relatively clean.
If it was blatant, go ahead.
Don't you say karma's a fickle mistress?
Absolutely. Yeah, if it was blatant, it wasn't as near as obvious as Denny's. Not that that makes it any less right or less wrong, but. You know, it's in my opinion, it's a short track. Anything less than a mile, in my opinion, is a short track. And he did it right. Yeah. He bumped him on the bumper, said, "Hey, I'm here. Move or I'm going to take the spot." And, you know, I don't think that there's necessarily anything wrong with that. He did it he did it off the corner so that he could have held on to it if he could have. Got a little loose, hit the wall. You know, I'm more okay with the way Chase did it versus the way Denny did it.
I agree.
All right, Tony.
And you know how much it pisses me off to agree with you, but I'm gonna do it.
Yes. 47 shows in. All right, Tony. We got the 4, the 18, the 78, and your boy Bad Brad going to Homestead. The 24, the 11, the 48, and the 21 are out. Tony, are you surprised by the 48?
I'm not. You know, he's been a little off, just a little off, you know, here and there throughout the year. Just hasn't shown that outright speed and that, you know, had flashes of brilliance, but just consistently across the board, just I didn't think it was going to be enough to get to the final four.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
That's just how it looked to me. You know, but you can never count him out.
No.
What you know, he's still in the final eight, and you know, that's a down year. That's an deal.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a career year.
Yep.
Career year for a lot of guys, right?
Tony, I ran a poll on Twitter there that got 223 replies. Apparently, people love responding to our polls on who was going to get to Homestead. 32% said Brad Keselowski, followed by 28% for Chase, 26% for Blaney, and 14% for Denny. And that's basically how it played out in the race, which was pretty crazy.
You know, it is, but here's the thing is Denny was in.
Yes, he was.
You know, up until that point.
Yes.
You know, until not so many laps to go. I don't know how many laps were left because I was in a taxi cab. So,
question for you on that. You know, Matt Kenseth came out with a charge. You know, when Chase passed Denny, I thought it was his. I thought this thing was done. He's finally going to get it. I really thought it was golden. And Matt Kenseth comes up with a vengeance there to make the pass. I wonder how much of that was, hey, you just took out my teammate, so I'm coming after you here a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Matt's driven. You know, maybe he's got a little extra motivation.
You know,
the last couple of weeks here. So, and to be fair, that he's still pretty good.
Yes, you know? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. No doubt about that. And I know Brad Keselowski is now the biggest Chase Elliott fan in the world. So. I mean, I hope he sent him a 48-pack of Miller Lite with a bow on it. Like, that's.
Is he old enough to drink?
That's a good question. I'm not 100% sure on that one.
anyways,
all right, Tony. Is anybody going to have anything for the 78?
I don't think so. I don't know who would. If it's anybody, boy, I don't know. Yeah, I don't see Keselowski as much as I, you know, everybody knows I'm a Brad fan, but I just don't see, they haven't had that, you know, that incredible overall speed lately. Harvick showed a little bit of speed, not a little bit of speed, you know, at Texas, he won, but I just don't know if anybody can beat the 78 car right now.
I got to agree with you on that one, sir. So, everyone, as Kelly Stavis mentioned, make sure you tune in to the big dance this Sunday, 3 o'clock on NBC. Let's see who gets this done. I can't wait to talk about it next week. Next week's show is going to be a lot of fun to talk about the season and all that. All right, Tony, you ready for a little silly season news here?
Oh, yeah, we got some more news.
Well, news, lack of news. Tony, still no deal for Kurt Busch. I don't expect anything to come out until maybe even after the award ceremony on this one.
Yeah, I agree.
They're
in no hurry.
No, they're definitely not in any hurry.
And I got to be honest with you, with the fact that, you know, Matt's not, doesn't have a ride next year, I think that just might have put a lower price tag on Kurt Busch.
It has to.
You know?
Or, you know what, if you're Stuart Haas, do you maybe write a little bigger check to Matt Kenseth? You know, I mean, a phone call had to have been made, right? I mean, I don't see how
it
hasn't.
That's what I'm saying is, you know, at what point does Kurt Busch go, uh-oh.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, your offer's good, guys. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, let's sign it this afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Did you need me to backdate that? Because I can.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yep, that'd be fine. Sure.
And in what might be one of the worst-kept secrets in the 2017 silly season, Eric Almirola driving the number 10 at Stuart Haas Racing next year.
Yeah,
I don't get that one, to be honest with you. I am confused on that. But nonetheless,
well, as I understand it, so Tony Stewart and Eric through the Drive for Diversity thing,
yes,
you know, years ago they met and they were friends, so they, you know, they like each other and you know, Eric's got a relationship apparently with Smithfield Foods and you know, that's where they went.
That's
Let's see
at.
How it goes.
Yep. Yep. All right, Tony, you ready to go to work there in Las Vegas?
Yeah, let's do it.
I know you are. Let's go. It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief, Tony Smith. All right, Tony, this week's question comes to us from Andrew Ant Kantzian on Twitter. Tony, what's the biggest challenge for the championship for heading into Homestead this weekend? Managing tires, not tearing up the right side of the car, pit road strategy. We've seen a lot of things go wrong on pit road at Homestead for the final four there. What do you think? What's the biggest issue and concern going into Homestead this weekend?
Yeah, this is tough because everything's got to all come together perfectly, right? You can't afford a mistake anywhere. Pit road is a big one because there's a lot of variables. You have, you know, you have your entire team coming over. You got to worry about every lug nut. You've got to watch your speed. So that's a big one. But boy, you really got to keep the nose on that car. These restarts could be crazy. It's so aero dependent that if you do, you got to keep the front end on that car. You know, and if you don't, it's all over. You know, you're fighting for 15. So I'm going to say keeping the nose on the car.
Okay.
Is probably going to be the most dependent because you can't come back from that.
No.
You can come back from a pit stop. You knock the nose off that car, you dent something in, you're done. There's nothing you can do.
Love it.
Good question.
I love it. All right, Tony, you ready for some lucky dogs?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Tony, who is your lucky dog of the race weekend? I bet I know.
I'd be surprised if we don't round the table on this one with Matt Kenseth.
Tony, as much as I hate to agree with you this time, I got to go with you on that one too, Mr. Matt Kenseth. Tony, who are you putting a lap down?
Austin Cindric.
Ooh.
You know, I think he stuck his nose in there where it didn't belong and took out a couple of really good trucks. and just wasn't necessary.
Yes, Tony.
What about you?
I am putting the fact that the season is over after this weekend a lap down because I've had fun with this. So I
love this part. Yeah.
Yes. All right, Tony. Twitter increased their responses to 280, and let me tell you, that impacted the results from our listeners' lap down picks. I had to shrink the font size of this part of the show notes because of the responses being so long now. So,
wow.
Mick at GoDucks42_Mick, Lucky Dog, Matt Kenseth, how awesome was that? Lap down, HMS, Engine Shop, damn it! Exclamation point. Scotty at ScottyStyles29, Lucky Dog, Brad Keselowski for making it to the final four. Lap down, the 11 and 24 who proved if you make a rival in the NASCAR playoffs, neither will be in Homestead. Can't disagree with you there, sir. William at the_Wilson429's Lucky Dog is Matt Kenseth. That is unarguable. Lap down Austin Cindric because the rich kid has shown he can't race clean. Ooh, ouch. Let's see here.
And he is one of the rich kids in
yes,
there, too.
Yes. Kyla at KEJRN88's Lucky Dog Matt Kenseth for going out on top and loved his emotion. Lap down Kyle Larson's DNF. A lot of people had him winning the championship. I agree. Tim at T-Trip14's Lucky Dog Keselowski for making the playoffs. Lap down Chase for losing another one. NASCAR Ponderings, Lucky Dog, me, because after all the pain and disappointment, I got to see my favorite driver win in classic fashion. That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Lap down, can't think of one, life is good. Love it. Linda at RacingGal_FL's Lucky Dog is the 24 for a classy payback on the 11. Lap down is the 42 for fourth DNF in a row. Our friend Penny at 423 Gray's Lucky Dog, Brad Keselowski for making the playoffs. Lap down, no Chevy in the championship. Colby,
yep.
Colby at KGEE61's Lucky Dog is the 2 for making the final four. Lap down, 24, winning small battles doesn't win the war. Hugh at Bucky515's Lucky Dog, any driver in the Toyota Cup. Lap down, Xfinity playoff final spot decided by a crash. Agree with you on that one. Steve at...
Did he call it the Toyota Cup?
No, any driver's racing cup, Toyota Cup cars.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Steve at SC Linden's Lucky Dog, Keselowski, lap down, Hamlin, hashtag, bye, Felicia. Jeff at Gray Jeff at Gray Wolf Pack 5's Lucky Dog, number 2, Bad Brad. He might be Lucky Dog of the Year. Lap down, 4018, probably best overall team and did not have it towards the end of the season. And a special Lucky Dog goes to Matt Kenseth and Natalie Decker for her third place finish from Jeff.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. Good
yes,
for her.
Yes, thanks, guys, for sending those in. Tony, ready for some odds?
Yeah.
All right, Tony. Going into Phoenix, I set odds for the bottom four. I put Jimmy Johnson at plus 750. He came in at plus 2,500. Denny Hamlin, I put at 12. I put Denny Hamlin at plus 12. He came in at plus 800. Ryan Blaney, I put at plus 1,500. He came in at plus 2,500 as well. And Chase Elliott, I hit spot on at plus 1,500. Going into Homestead here, I'm setting odds for all four. I'm putting Martin Truex Jr. as the odds-on favorite at plus 200. Kevin Harvick, I'm putting at plus 500. Kyle Busch at plus 750. And Brad Keselowski at plus 750 as well.
Yeah, like I said, they haven't posted anything yet here in the sports book. I checked today. I actually was at South Point 2 weeks ago. Matt Kenseth was 1.5 to 1.
Matt Kenseth? You mean and Martin Truex?
Or something like that. Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, true. Actually.
Yeah. 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 That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Tony, over to our podcast pick'ems there. I had the 24 of Chase who finished second. You had Bad Brad who finished 16th. Gives us another win over the PETM podcast who picked the 48 and the 88. So that's given us a 13-8 lead here. So I know they're going to come at us next year. It's going to be – shit's going to get real next year with the podcast pick'ems.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right, Tony. Who you got going into Homestead?
I don't know. You know, I don't have my, that super nice Excel spreadsheet that I have on my notes right there. looks like a 4-year-old was coloring that. You know what? I'm saying that because I know who I'm out of, right?
Yes.
So I know which drivers. I think it's gonna. The tides are gonna turn. I'm saying the 42 car wins.
40. Ooh, I like that, Tony. I like that. All right, Tony. I actually have. I have a Kyle Busch left. I actually have a 78 left, and I have a Kevin Harvick left. So I'm going Homer on this one, and I am taking the 4, Kevin Harvick. I didn't think he was going to get this far, so I got to take him now that he's there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. All right, everyone. Make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Tony, we're going to try to get someone.
Don't forget to vote.
Don't forget to vote. That's right. Tony, we're going to try to get somebody next week. I don't know if it's going to happen or not just because it's the end of the season and there's going to be 3 really, really happy guys who we're going to be too small for them to come and talk to us. There's going to be 9 guys that are really pissed off who aren't going to want to talk to anybody. And then there's going to be about 30 to 50 guys that they're already talking about 2018. Yeah. So
I don't know. There's some truck guys in there that would talk to us.
It's a good possibility. We'll see if we can't put something together there. Big thanks to NBC's Kelly Stavis, who took some time out for joining us this week. Much thanks. Can't wait to see her this weekend.
Yeah, and make sure you tune in each and every week, everybody. Otherwise, you will be a lap down.
See ya!